Welcome in the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for finding us on your favorite podcast app or on the Nothing But Net channel on Dash Radio. If you don't have that, download the Dash Radio app for free. Search for Nothing But Net, and we're there every day, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Pacific. Also, check out FiveReasonsSports.com. Spell it out, F-I-V-E, ReasonSports.com. That's the hub for all of our free content, all of our free content. And yeah, you can buy merchandise too if you want. We got a ton of shirts, including Heat shirts there. But our content, which includes our, obviously free, the YouTube channel, but also all of our stories, all of our columns, everything else, it's right there. We cover all of the South Florida teams. We have access to all of them just like everybody else. And you don't have to pay for a paywall. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. All of our sponsors are local. All of them have helped us kind of get through COVID, come out through the other side, and they can help you with one thing or another. One of our friends is Mark Brown, M-A-R-C Brown, PA.com. Now, this is real estate litigation and transactions, whether it's commercial or residential. It's a law firm that also has a full-service attorney-owned title company, so it is a one-stop shop. $295 closing fee on all refinances and purchases when mentioning Five Reasons, right? $295 on the closing fee on all refinances and purchases. Just have to mention Five Reasons. They handle evictions for landlords and tenants, so either side of it, and they offer flat fee evictions. Practicing for nearly 15 years, you can email them at marc@markbrownpa.com. Go to markbrownpa.com or call the office at 954-566-5678. That's 954-566-5678. Now, before we get to today's episode, one note. I spoke to Antonio Daniels prior to some information coming out about Bam Adebayo being doubtful for game two. So when we discuss Bam and the lineup, we're discussing it in the context that we expected Bam to play. Bam still could play. I'm not expecting Goran Dragic to play, but I just wanted you to understand that as Antonio and I go through the various lineups that may be possible for the Miami Heat. Enjoy the episode.
One, two, three, four, five.
On the floor.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily show on the Miami Heat and the NBA featuring Ethan Skolnick, with Alphonse Sidney, Alex Toledo, and Greg Sylvander. Part of the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome back to Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Also on the Nothing But Net channel on Dash Radio every day, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Pacific. Today we've got the honor of speaking to one of the members of the Pelicans broadcast down in New Orleans. Also has a show on Sirius XM NBA, where my good buddy Andy King works. So I said I would give him a shout out. People know him down in South Florida. His co-host is Rick Kamla, and it is Antonio Daniels. Played for 13 years in the NBA. Probably remember him best from the Spurs days. Antonio, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure, man. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, let's get into where we are in the series right now. I feel like everything that could have gone wrong for the Heat in game one went wrong. A lot of people in Miami are blaming me for actually being here in Orlando because I tend to bring a jinx with me. Although I didn't anticipate that their three best players would all get hurt during the game, and one of them seriously. But before we get into the injuries and kind of what they do now without Goran Dragic, what did you see early in that game that flipped on the Heat? Because they got off to the 25-12 start. The ball was moving. They were attacking. I thought Jimmy got off to a great start, kind of attacking the two bigs. And then 75-30 run, which we've never seen anything quite like that in the finals game. What in your view happened?
Well, you know, I think one of the most difficult things to do in professional sports and in general in the NBA is to blow a team out for 48 straight minutes. I remember when I played, I used to hate getting up on a team big early because, you know, it's a matter of time before they go on their run. It's a matter of time. It's very rare that you start out blowing a team out and that blowout lasts for 48 minutes. That's very rare, especially in the finals where you're the finals two teams standing. But when that team, being the Los Angeles Lakers, has the star power of LeBron James and Anthony Davis, you knew it was a matter of time before they made their run. But for me, it was about the fact that the Lakers started hitting shots. You know what the Miami Heat defensive game plan is going to be. It's going to be similar to the same one they had against the Milwaukee Bucks. It's going to be get back and build a wall. enforce those other guys. Those other guys being KCP and Danny Green and Rajon Rondo, Alex Caruso, Kyle Kuzma, is going to be allow those guys to hit shots, but just keep LeBron James in front of you. The same thing they did against Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. Mm-hmm. And you know what happened? Those guys start hitting shots. Yep. If you look at that first half, they had 11 made threes. That's a franchise record for the Lakers. Yep. But in this league, you can't stop everything. So you can't say, on one hand, let's stop LeBron, and then let's also get out and stop all the three-point shooting. When you're playing against guys of this magnitude, guys that are this good, you understand that there's something that you have to give up. And it comes down to a point of saying, we have to live with Danny Green and Kyle Kuzma and Caruso and KCP and those guys knocking down shots, as opposed to LeBron James breaking down our defense with him finishing at the rim and doing both. So it's a tough situation to be in, but that's why the Lakers are where they are now. If they shoot the basketball at that clip, there's nobody in this league that's going to beat them four times.
No, you're right. I mean, they shot 65% from three in the first half. I mean, right. it was ludicrous. And like you said, they're not a great three-point shooting team. I mean, the two things that the Lakers don't do particularly well are shoot the three and guard the three. I mean, they do everything else well, but those are the two things. And you know, again, I thought the Heat's start was really good. Like in terms of, and I understand what you're saying about it's tough to blow a team out for sure. I don't know that they necessarily relaxed. I do think it's what you said. I think that they were playing a defense to try to take away LeBron's attacks. LeBron had only 4 field goal attempts in the first half.
Right.
You know, so they pretty much took away his attacks and they were spraying the ball out. And I did think they did a good job of moving the ball. And LeBron's so smart that he understands kind of the way that he's going to be approached. And look, he played for Eric, you know, when he and Eric were trying to tackle what Pop, and I know you're familiar with Pop, what Pop did to him in the finals, which was basically that approach, which was build a wall, make LeBron either a shooter or a passer, but don't allow him to attack. And it's just that their shooters made shots. But let's flip it. Go ahead.
So think about how that first half looks. If LeBron James only has 4 field goal attempts and those guys that we just talked about didn't hit those three-point shots. So the thing that you just said, the Lakers aren't a great three-point shooting team. But this is a make-or-miss league. You hear it all the time. It's such a cliche statement. So imagine if they don't hit 11 threes in the first half, but they hit 4. Mm-hmm. We are having a completely different conversation at halftime. Yeah. But the fact that they hit 11 threes, now you have the best of both worlds. So now what that forces you to do automatically as a player is now overreact to that three-point shooting, which now gives LeBron a little bit more space to be aggressive, Anthony Davis a little bit more space to be aggressive.
Yep. So let's get to Anthony Davis then. Because to me, that was the biggest problem for the Heat entering this series, because there's really no good way to approach him. You have Bam Adebayo, but we saw yesterday Bam picked up the 2 quick fouls, and Bam then, you know, sort of re-injured a shoulder injury that the Heat have been downplaying, and you know, he's getting treatment today as we speak, and we'll see where he is for game 2. He's expecting to play, but we'll see. But you're only playing one big, Antonio. This has surprised me a little bit about the direction that Eric Spoelstra has gone the past couple of rounds, because he played his depth during the regular season. He played his depth early in the bubble, and he's pretty much shrunk it now to like a 7.5-man rotation. Like he's playing Iguodala, and again, we'll get into Dragic, but he's been playing Iguodala and Hero off the bench, and then he's been giving Solomon Hill a few minutes here or there. Yesterday, he actually played 16 and was a +3, but he's pretty much playing 7.5 guys. He's not playing other bigs. I mean, he didn't play Olynyk yesterday until, you know, Bam got hurt, really. How would you approach Anthony Davis? Because it seems like, again, pick your poison. If you're going to put Bam on him, Bam's going to pick up fouls, and then you lose Bam's effectiveness. If you don't put Bam on him, you've got Jay Crowder, who's competing, but, I mean, just doesn't have the length to guard AD. So what's the option?
And I tell you this is what makes Anthony Davis one of the top 5 players in the world. It's exactly what you just alluded to. Is he is a matchup nightmare. And it's not just for the Miami Heat. He's a matchup nightmare for all other 29 other teams.
Yeah.
That's why he is who he is. So if you put a big on him, he can take you out on the perimeter and do what he does. He has guard skills, the ability to hit three-point shots, 15 to 17 feet, put the ball on the floor, create his own shot. Then you put a small on him, he can walk him down to a spot where he's comfortable and shoot over top of him. if you are the Miami Heat and this is the way that you have played and found success, now you have a problem. Because you basically have found success playing four smalls around one big, and that one big being Bam Adebayo.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the alternative? You aren't going to start playing another big because it just doesn't work. That's not when you're at your best. You know, Kelly Olynyk, I don't know. He's going to have to compete. But we talked about this on our radio show yesterday. If they start Dwight Howard at the five, which they have no reason to go away from that, now who's guarding Anthony Davis? Now you have a small that's guarding him, a Jay Crowder, a Andre Iguodala, somebody who's big time undersized. So this is the best thing about the playoffs for me, is it's no longer checkers. Now you're playing chess.
Yeah.
And to watch the coaches play chess with matchups, where they're going to double team from, how they're going to double team, are they going to double team? Because now with Anthony Davis, you almost have to have the same approach that you have with LeBron James and say, look, we're going to run another guy at you. You kick that ball to Kyle Kuzma, he beats us, we lose. You kick that ball to Danny Green, he beats us, we lose. You kick it to KCP, he beats us, we lose. But you cannot allow stars in this league to be that impactful and that effective along with spreading the wealth. So it may come a point where, and we did this when I played with Greg Popovich, you double Anthony Davis on the catch. The moment he catches that ball, you run somebody at him. And now you have the speed, the quickness, the agility, and the defensive IQ to rotate out of that and to cover for one another. That's just something that you have to work on this day off, especially not knowing how impactful or how healthy Bam Adebayo is going to be moving forward.
We'll get back to our episode with Antonio Daniels in a second. Before that, though, we want to tell you about another of the great local sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network, and that's Mr. Kitchen. You can find this at MrKitchen.org. This is where you can fulfill all of your construction needs with licensed contractors, custom American-made cabinetries, 15 years of serving South Florida with showrooms in Broward and Palm Beach counties. Here's what you got to do. A lot of people have done this already. Text a picture of your kitchen to 561-400-1195. That's 561-400-1195. Or check out the website, MrKitchen.org. If you use the code 5ONTHEFLOOR, that's either spelled out or with the number 5, you get 5% off of your total order. So again, MrKitchen.org, 561-400-1195. And now back to the episode. Right. All right. So let's get to the other part of this, which is the other side of the floor. And this is the side of the floor that's going to be impacted by Goran Dragic's injury, which is offensively. Again, I thought that Jimmy's approach yesterday was great early in the game. It was, I'm putting my head down and I'm going to the rim and I'm either going to get something, get fouled, or get something for one of my teammates. And then, you know, again, the game kind of got away and they really fell apart when he went to the bench the first time. But the guy who's given him relief during the entire bubble experience has been Goran Dragic, where Goran has taken that responsibility, given them scoring runs. You know, I know you played with a guy like Ginobili and he's been like that, where he's basically given them, he's given them these flurries, right? What do you do now if you don't have Goran Dragic? I guess the first question would be, would you start Hero, who was kind of a disaster last night? Or do you start Kendrick Nunn, who got a little bit of rhythm, and leave Hero off the bench? And how do you handle the offensive distribution?
First, to speak on Goran's impact, he's been the Heat's leading scorer. That says a lot. If you go back to the last series against the Boston Celtics, Jimmy Butler did not lead them in scoring one game. But yet, they still beat the Celtics in six. That speaks to the depth of this team and guys understanding their roles. And I say that to say this. In understanding your roles, one of the things you have to learn to do is embrace your role. Tyler Hero has embraced his role coming off the bench. I wouldn't change that. He's comfortable in what he's doing now. He knows when he's coming in. He knows what's expected. For me, it comes to the point, and I heard Van Gundy speak to this last night, and it's such a cliche statement, but it's true. It's a next man up mentality. That next man is Kendrick Nunn. Yeah. And it's not like Kendrick Nunn hasn't played all year. He had one of the best seasons this year as a rookie. So it's not like you're relying on a guy that hasn't proven that he can play in this system and with these guys. And last night, it was nice to see him find the rhythm. I don't believe in garbage minutes. As a role player in this league for 13 years, I do not believe in garbage minutes. Mm-hmm. When you say, oh, well, the game mm-hmm. is over. No, what you found yesterday is Kendrick Nunn found an opportunity to get himself some rhythm, to get himself some rhythm that he has not had the opportunity to get throughout these entire playoffs, and he got it last night. For that alone, I would start him next game, especially if Gorin's not ready to go, if he's not going to take an injection or whatever it may be, and keep everything business as usual. Keep Tyler Hero coming off the bench with Andre Iguodala and some spot minutes here for Solomon Hill.
Okay. And I'm with you on that. I've come around to that. And like you said, I mean, Kendrick was an effective player for them the entire season. And then in the bubble, between the combination of getting there late because of COVID, I know he was dealing with some personal issues he had to leave the bubble for, and everything else that's kind of taken place, and then Hero's emergence and kind of putting the ball more in Dragic's hands, he got pushed to the background. But what I saw last night was the Kendrick Nunn I saw for the first 3-4 weeks of the season, who kind of came out of nowhere as a starter. He was aggressive. He was getting to his mid-range. He was getting to the cup, and he does different things than Goran does, but he does some of the same things that Goran does, because Goran is not – he's not a typical distributing point guard. I mean, he's never averaged more than 5.5 assists. He's more, again, he'll get stuff for others, but primarily is looking for himself. So in that context then, because again, you said, you know, get the spot minutes for Solomon Hill. Is there anybody else that maybe Eric's not using that you think could be effective? I mean, is there a role for Kelly in this series? Because, I mean, Kelly Olynyk was a big part of what they did in the regular season. It's just, it feels like they've gotten totally away from
him. He may not have a choice. He may not have a choice. And sometimes through injury, it forces your hand. But also, like, this is the playoffs. So, you know how you hear styles make fights? And when you go through these different rounds, maybe these matchups weren't what was best for the team collectively to pay Kelly Olynyk. You know what I mean? You look at it, mm-hmm. look at the Lakers, for example. You know, Dwight Howard was incredibly impactful in the Denver Nuggets series. Right. But in the series against Houston, him and JaVale McGee rarely played. In the series against the Miami Heat, who knows how impactful he can possibly be because of the matchups. These playoffs are all about matchups. Sometimes what you've done throughout the course of the season, because of who you're playing, and you're playing the same team 4 out of 7 times, it doesn't allow you the opportunity to do what you've done all year. Sometimes it forces you to go away from what you become accustomed to doing all year. But I tell you what, preparation plus opportunity equals success. So Kendrick Nunn mm-hmm. and Kelly Olynyk, you have been preparing for this opportunity all year long. Gorin goes down. Bam may be a little bit injured throughout the course of this playoff series. So if you are Kendrick Nunn and you are Kelly Olynyk and possibly somebody like Myers Leonard, because he has size, he has strength, and he can shoot the ball, you have to be preparing yourself for this situation even when you're not playing.
I want to introduce you to another of the great new sponsors of the 5 Reasons Sports Network, and it is a sponsor that would be important in any time if you want to have a beautiful workspace, but it's especially important now when you need a safe one as well, and that's safecubbies.com, which offers modular office solutions designed to elevate your open office into a modern and safe environment at any budget. You can personalize your workspace with options like whiteboards, magnetic panels, acrylic sheets, and graphic branding. Most of the surfaces are non-porous for easy cleaning and can be removed or replaced within minutes. Now, this is for workplaces. They've got a bunch of different options on their professional series, but also they've got private room solutions, dividers and sneeze guards, and they have a classroom series as well. So if you're involved with a school, this is definitely something your school should check out, of course, if we have school in the fall. And that's the point here. We are entering a new normal period with COVID-19. SafeCubbies.com, which is locally owned, is the place that you want to go. The phone number is 754-216-1071. Again, that's 754-216-1071 or safecubbies.com.
Yeah, Myers Leonard has come up a lot with the fan base, and I think the fans appreciate Myers because, you know, again, he was a starter the whole season. That starting lineup with Kendrick Nunn in it, by the way, both of them was one of the better starting lineups in the league. And then Myers has been pushed to the bench, and he's been totally engaged with his team and incredibly supportive and has handled the situation well. But that is one of the things I actually thought about was, would you go this far? And then I want to get to a separate question with you related to Goran and then Anthony Davis. would you go this far as to just go to the starting lineup you had in the regular season? Because as good as Jay Crowder has been, it would seem to me like if you played Myers and Nunn, who played with, you know, Robinson, you know, again, Dragic wasn't a starter during the season, so they played with Robinson, Bam, and Butler in the regular season. That group has familiarity.
Right.
And then you would kind of resolve the problem of Bam and AD because, you know, at least, you know, you have the second big in there, even if it's for just one stint start of the first half, one stint start of the second half, which is pretty much all Dwight's going to play anyway, or has been playing. And you get that group together, you bring Crowder off the bench with Iguodala and Hero, and you've kind of filled out your bench again. Would that make any sense?
Well, okay, the question I have is, I don't know how Myers-Leonard alleviates the problem of Anthony Davis and Bam Adebayo.
Okay.
Because you still match Myers-Leonard up with Dwight Howard, so Bam Adebayo was still on Anthony Davis. And the thing is, like, we have to understand, every young star in this league has gone through it. Like, this is something, this is a part of the growth process.
Yes.
You cannot expedite experience. So this is something Bam's going to have to go through. You don't want to get to a point where you're saying, no, we need to do whatever we can to keep Bam Adebayo off of Anthony Davis. No. This is how he learns. This is exactly how he learns. And this will pay dividends in the future. Bam is one of the best rim protectors and individual defenders and versatile defenders in this league. That's a challenge that he should want to take and accept. If Anthony Davis gets the best of him, so what? Who cares? Right. You know, this is about the growth process. I said yesterday on our show, I honestly feel like Myers-Leonard is not a bad go-to. Because with Dwight Howard, that gives someone, one, that can use fouls. Two, that can use his body, his physicality. Dwight Howard's just not going to throw around and so on and so forth. And three, it forces you to put Bam Adebayo on Anthony Davis.
Gotcha.
As opposed to having Jay Crowder or somebody smaller on Anthony Davis. You know, so I'm not opposed to that. Especially with Goran being out, I am not opposed to that whatsoever. Going back to what's familiar, especially when the matchups that you have with Miami, when you look player to player, it's almost like, wow, this works. You know, if you go with the familiarity that you had all year, you know, you can match up Myers with Dwight. You can match up AD with Bam Adebayo. And you just go down the line, and that's not a bad look whatsoever.
And the other thing is it allows you to bring two veteran, experienced wings off the bench.
To
match up with Crowder and Iguodala and then allow Hero to handle some of the ball handling and the scoring. And you've filled out your eight-man rotation. You have Hill or DJJ for spot minutes. And you still are deep enough that you can compete. Because if Jimmy's going to take the LeBron challenge anyway, then to me, that's what would make the most sense. I got one more thing for you, Antonio, because I know you got your own show to do. Just from a player perspective, and kind of, again, 13 years of playing through injuries and trying to get to the next game, if you were Goran Dragic, and more importantly, if you're the Miami Heat along with Goran Dragic, do you even risk it? I mean, I understand that Goran has – you do.
Yes.
Okay, tell me why.
And it depends on what you mean by risk it, though, because – if you're telling me as a doctor that I can get injected and I can't hurt myself anymore, I'm trying.
Okay.
I'm trying. If I feel like I can go out there and contribute and help my team win, I'm trying. No, like, you don't make it this far. And, like, there's two sides to this. Because everybody has a different pain tolerance. You can remember Joe Johnson years back.
Yes,
did the same exact thing.
Yeah, he played with it.
And he played with it, and he got an injection. But he was not very effective either.
No.
He was not very effective. So this comes down to Goran feeling like, because I never feel like a player should feel like he has to play. I don't have a choice. I have to play. Because if you're not the best version of yourself, or you don't feel like you can really contribute and help this team win games, then you're hurting the team more than helping the team.
Mm-hmm.
It comes a point where, just like you do on the floor, you have to do off the floor and trust your teammates to do their job. Now, if you tell me as a doctor, like, man, you know, this is as bad as it can possibly get. You can't go out there and tear it anymore, or you can't hurt yourself for the future, or whatever it may be, I'm going to give it a shot. Okay. But if you tell me, you know what, listen, I would suggest that this is something that you don't do because you're risking further injury, then I'm going to sit down, I'm going to have my suit on or whatever it may be inside that bubble, and I'm going to trust Kendrick Nunn, Tyler Hero, Jimmy Butler, and the rest of that Heat team like I've done all year long.
Yeah, no, it's a great point, and there's a couple of other factors that go into this. The Heat have a lot of experience with this particular injury, dating all the way back to Tim Hardaway in the late 90s, who dealt with it for a long time. And they also tend to go on the side of caution. We saw that in the Chris Bosh situation. It's going to be Goran who pushes. I mean, I just knowing Goran, like it's going to be Goran who tries to play. I mean, the guy in terms of competitors, you know, he's top 10 in the history of this franchise. And I think he's going to try to push it. But again, if he's not effective, that does raise the question of whether you make it worse. I mean, We had Stan Van Gundy here on the pod a couple weeks ago, and one of the things we talked about was the 2009 finals where Jameer Nelson came back after Rafer Alston was playing pretty well during that run with Dwight, of course, and Jameer just didn't have it in the finals, and it almost would have been better off if he hadn't played at all. And I worry a little bit about that situation. There's also the other factor, Antonio. Dragic is a free agent after this year, and all indications are the Heat were going to take care of him with a big 1 year payout over the cap, keep their flexibility, and then, you know, give him sort of the retirement contract after that, a couple of years at less money. And then he was on board with that. And I guess if he has that comfort level that the Heat are going to, you know, take care of him after the offseason anyway, then maybe that affects this a little bit. But if he doesn't have that comfort level, then does that affect it? Do you say, you know,
I mean, the thing is, there's nothing you can do now.
Right. Right.
You know, it is now. Like, you know, you played yourself into a position where you hope that every time you step on that floor, you're auditioning for 29 other teams. You know, so if it gets to a point where the Miami Heat don't take care of them, and the Miami Heat, they're extremely professional in what they do. So what I would expect them to. And this is a conversation that you have with Eric Spoelstra. This is a conversation you, meaning Goran, has with Spoelstra, that he has with Riley, that he has with Jimmy Butler. And then you guys kind of talk about this. You know, is this worth me coming back? You know, or is it – because we also – tell you another thing we got to understand. This is going to be a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
This is going to be a really, really, really quick turnaround. As Adam Silver said, this season's about to start again in January. That's what everyone's planning for.
Yeah.
So understand, January is 3 months away. We just start October today. You got October, November, December is probably when you'll start training camp.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be cognizant of that as well. And this is not something that you want not just to happen now, but also to linger and carry over into next season.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt. And I do agree with you. I think that, you know, there's an understanding with Goran. There's a five-year relationship. There's trust. I would anticipate that, you know, they're going to say to him, look, you're with us anyway, and we're going to get you the 1 year. And then again, we're going to keep our flexibility for 21, and then you'll be with us to retire here. And I think Goran's a guy who could actually get his number 7 retired up in the rafters at some point, but I'm with you on that. Well, Antonio Daniels, really appreciate you taking the time with us again. He's the Pelicans. He's on the Pelicans broadcast team as an analyst, but also on Sirius XM NBA. Thanks for doing it. Great stuff.
For sure. Thanks for having me, brother. You stay safe.
You too.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Regional Sports Network.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
On the floor.